and what we're actually capable of, even in a religious spirit. But our times are changing as well, right? We're starting to become sober of what human beings can actually do to each other in God's name. Never should be done. But how could it be, though? We still have to wrestle with something else here. How could it be that Jephthah would vow such a thing? Like, human sacrifice was a pagan practice. It was abhorrent to God. It was a clear violation of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. So why would this Israelite vow something so repugnant? And here's the answer I submit to you, because it's the thesis for the entire book of Judges. The entire book of Judges show that the people of God had become what? Paganized. They'd become Canaanized. They, while being the chosen people of God, had become so much like the rest of the people that they ceased to be differentiated from them. This is what took place in Jephthah. You see, his religious syncretism caused him to make an ignorant vow, an arrogant vow, a foolish vow that actually ignored God's law and grace, and it was terribly deadly. He was thinking too much like a pagan, not like a member of God's people. You know what's incredible? Jephthah could have got out of this vow. Could have got out of it. See, making a vow was a serious promise to God. Breaking it would be sin. It would invoke a curse. But what is fascinating is that within God's ancient law, there was a gracious provision already included for people making rash and irresponsible vows like this one. In Leviticus chapter 5, verse 4 to 6, you might want to look that up later, but remember it now. Leviticus 5, verse 4 to 6, we read this. If anyone utters with his lips a rash oath, that is synonymous with a vow, to do evil or to do good, any sort of rash oath that people swear, and it is hidden from him, when he comes to know it and he realizes his guilt in any of these, when he realizes his guilt in any of these and confesses the sin he has committed, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation for the sin he committed a female from the flock, that's a lamb or a goat, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for his sin. You see, there's two things I want you to know. Jephthah sinned in making this vow in the first place. He would have sinned in breaking this vow in the second place. But God, in his wisdom and grace, had also acted, even within the old covenant, to give him a way of escape. Isn't that a good God? He needed atonement. He needed to confess his sin, but nonetheless, in his ignorance and arrogance, it costs him his innocent child and his future. Because you see, bearing children in that culture, something that you and I as Westerners have lost, was considered an enormous blessing. Because it was a way to carry on the family name and the heritage, and you would live on in your descendants. Being childless in that culture was a quick way to lose one's identity in the group and disappear from history. But isn't it in his arrogance and ignorance cost him and his daughter dearly? You see, Jephthah, a man of great faith, was so utterly mixed up with pagan beliefs and practices that he ends up destroying himself and his family. I read this, and as you can tell, I have an emotional, visceral reaction. Do you not have it? How could this take place? The weight of this is enormous. I mean, here's a young girl who loved her dad, who rejoiced at his return. It's her hero. And then she dies because of his idolatry, his pride, his arrogance, and his ignorance. God, keep us from such sins. Amen? You see, it is possible for someone to have strong faith and still have deeply pagan ideas. to still have paganism mixed in with their Christianity and then remain ignorant of God's law and grace. And that, I submit to you this morning, is a warning for us. There is a dangerous level of ignorance. The church today in the West is filled with religious syncretism. Filled with it. There are many competing ideas in the church today that masquerade as biblical, but they're completely and utterly pagan. We just adopt them. You see, there are some Christians that think that financial success is a sign of a blessed life. There are some Christians that think abortion is okay in some circumstances. There are Christians who think that our sexuality or our ethnicity is going to be our central identity for eternity. There are Christians who think that we should prioritize care over the created order, over concern for our fellow man and women. There are Christians that think there's no way out from their sinful actions and words, and that they must live defined by the sins of their past or even their present. And I submit to you, they are all wrong. They are thinking more like pagans than reborn citizens of the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I pray that may God help us and prevent us from ever being so ignorant of God's law and arrogant toward His grace as to let anyone, including our sons and daughters, suffer for it. You see, there's only one way out here. I don't want you to stay there if you're ignorant this morning. But I want you to know there's an easy and simple antidote. The antidote here is to read, to memorize, to meditate, to study, to pray, to obey the Word of God. You see, you could have saving faith this morning, but be terribly ignorant or mixed in with these pagan ideas and end up suffering for it. As I said to you guys in the message before, you're going to see this man in glory. I also submit to you, you're going to see his daughter too. Because what she actually does here is an act of faith, but it's so twisted. It's so twisted by a misunderstanding of God's character and His law. But you'll still see Him in glory. How he lived for the rest of his life, I have no idea. And I would spare us any sort of similar catastrophe. So do not remain ignorant, dear saint. This is why this book is so, so important. We don't worship this thing, but boy, do we depend on it. Amen? Every word is true. And we live off of it. But I want us to leave us with hope this morning before we come to the Lord's table. You see, nonetheless, whatever ignorant and sinful things that you and I have said and done, however horrible some of those things may have been, God actually has given us a way of escape, the way to be restored. The good news that resonates all the way through Scripture is that God doesn't want our sacrifice. He doesn't want our children's lives, and He doesn't even want our lives, because He gave His own life, His own Son's life. Quickly, flip over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 7. Hebrews in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament, chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. Here, the author of Hebrews is actually quoting an Old Testament prophecy in Psalms, chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. But in Hebrews 10, he says this: consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, listen carefully, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. That says a lot about the entire old covenant, huh? Then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. It is written of me in the scroll of the book. That is Jesus talking to his Father on our behalf of what he would do to cover our sins in his death. God died willingly in the place of every sinner who would believe in him. So for all of us here this morning who have broken vows, who have broken promises, who have sinned by what we have said and done and thought there was no way out. The good news of the glorious gospel is that there is. You see, God has provided this ultimate sacrifice in His Son, so please, if you are not without that hope this morning, then you have the opportunity to turn to Jesus for escape through faith in Him. No matter how awful your actions, no matter how ignorant you have spoken, Jesus is the way out. And so as we come to this table this morning, and we remember His broken body for us and His shed blood for us, let us know that He's done this willingly. Not to escape from anything that He has done, but to provide us an escape for what we have done. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, and thank You so much that You have provided a way of escape. Thank You that for the foolish things that we have done in life, the ignorant things that we have done in life, the sinful things that we have said and done in life, that there is an ultimate sacrifice. And that ultimate sacrifice is in You, our God. Thank You, Jesus, for what You have done. I pray, Lord, as we come around this table, that You, by Your Spirit, would meet with us afresh. Lord, we want to live lives out of gratitude. We want to live lives that are not ignorant of Your Word. We want to live lives that are filled with the truth of Your Word and the power of Your Holy Spirit. Help us to do so, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. At this time, I'd invite the worship team.